This is Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA.
We kept hearing there was a plan. And even, I mean, we heard in testimony here that there was a plan on the 13th that the Ottawa Police Services pulled together. I would recommend people take a look at that actual plan, which wasn't a plan at all.
The latest from the inquiry into the Emergencies Act today. Welcome back to Ottawa Now. It is 4:11. That is the long-awaited testimony from the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. CTV National News reporter Glenn McGregor joins us now on the line. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Christy.
Here's what I heard today. This is my paraphrasing, my takeaway from the Prime Minister. The police messed it up. They bungled it. They told us they had a plan, but it wasn't a good plan. And things got worse and things got worse. And we had to step in. And I completely think that we had to do what we did. Is that a fair assessment?
A fair assessment. And, you know, I think one of the things that was a little bit striking about the Prime Minister's testimony today is how poorly he considered the performance of the Ottawa police. Without saying so, you know, emphatically, it was clear from his responses that he took a very dim view of how Ottawa police handled this, how Peter Slowly handled this, the former police chief. It was quite striking. I mean, his testimony begins when he starts describing about how he starts learning of how badly this might go, kind of in the first few days of the occupation, back at the end of January. And he hears it actually from Ottawa area MPs, including Anita Vandeville from Ottawa West Nepean, and of course, Yasser Naqvi, who represents the area most affected in Ottawa Center and Centertown. And they're telling him this is bad. We're hearing complaints from constituents about harassment and the horns and the diesel fumes and all this. So he kind of starts to understand then, you know, how serious it is. And then this, you know, leads to a series of meetings at various cabinet committees. He's getting feedback from the RCMP, from CSIS, and it's all kind of setting the wheels in motion for what happens about a little over 2 weeks later, which is the decision to invoke the Emergencies Act. But you're absolutely right. His lack of faith, like many people who live in Ottawa, because he's an Ottawa resident after all, in the ability of the Ottawa police to deal with this was profound and obvious from his testimony today.
And how have the other lawyers been trying to pull that apart?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he faced cross-examination from, there's a lot of lawyers there representing a lot of different
there sure is
that have standing. And that's what part of the reason why these things go on and on and on. And the Prime Minister went on the stand at 9:30. There's kind of a funny timing glitch this morning when the judge went to start the hearing and looked over to say, okay, let's go. And there's no witness in on the witness stand. And then the Prime Minister walked in a few moments later.
Whoops.
The commissioner of the inquiry, Judge Paul Rouleau, said, well, that was kind of an anticlimax because Trudeau was the most anticipated witness of the whole thing. And we should take a moment to talk about how remarkable it is that a prime minister is testifying before a commission of inquiry, an active current prime minister. It's very rare. The last time it happened was Paul Martin back in 2005, his last year as prime minister in a short term that he had at the Gomery Commission and the Liberal sponsorship scandal. So it was strange to begin with. But in terms of the cross-examination, it was kind of odd. Everybody was looking towards what we thought would be kind of the most confrontational cross-examination led by the lawyer representing the convoy organizers. That has been, up until now, this guy, Brendan Miller, who's gotten a lot of attention on social media because he's been going around making wild allegations about people, agent provocateurs carrying Nazi flags, and there's somebody threatening to sue him, and, you know. Anyway, but he, as it turns out, did not conduct the cross-examination. It was another woman from the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedom based in Edmonton, kind of this legal charity that's very closely affiliated with the convoy. And she started reading to Trudeau these statements by people who claim they had been very adversely affected by the vaccination mandates. Trudeau responded to, said, listen, you know, the pandemic was extremely hard on everybody. That lawyer accused Trudeau of being divisive and calling the people who were opposed to vaccination racists and the fringe minority. Remember those comments that he made while he was in quarantine in the early days of the pandemic? And Trudeau said, no, I wasn't talking about people who are unvaccinated. And I'm not talking about people who are even hesitant to get vaccinated. I was talking about a specific group of people.
Too late. It's already become a T-shirt slogan and a bumper sticker.
Exactly. I mean, the convoy people really kind of glommed on to that tag of being a small fringe minority, and they were sort of wore it as a badge of pride. But Trudeau was asked, why didn't you negotiate with these people? Why don't you sit down and hear them out? And Trudeau had a pretty pungent line in response. He says they didn't want to be heard. They wanted to be obeyed. They wanted the government to act on their demands to scrap all the vaccination mandates. And he said, we weren't going to do that. And we knew what their position was. So there wasn't a whole lot, Christy, to be gained from sitting down and listening to them.
Let's go back to Brendan Miller. Let's just try and unpack this. There's a lot going on here. So last night, he approached somebody who's a pundit, I believe a lobbyist, and was yelling at him, berating him because he thought he was somebody else. And it relates to the papers that he's just been served with for slander. Can you explain this to our listeners?
So here's the backstory. For the last couple of days of cross-examination, Brendan Miller, who's a Calgary lawyer who's representing the convoy organizers, has been pushing this theory that he has identified the person who was carrying the swastika flag on the first weekend of the protests. And he claims that this person is a Toronto consultant who works for a government relations firm in Toronto. And his evidence for this apparently is an affidavit from somebody who may or may not have talked to him. The affidavit was never entered into evidence at the hearing. And the firm that employs this gentleman, I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to cause any more problems that he's already experienced, but says the allegation is ludicrous, it's absurd, it's also highly damaging and libelous. So yesterday they served him with a libel notice, served the lawyer with a libel notice, kind of the first step towards a defamation lawsuit. And we had cameras there at the Commission of Inquiry down at the National Archives that captured this moment where he was actually a process server gives him this brown envelope with a libel notice. So he's kind of having a rough day. And then he comes out of the hearing at one point and sees somebody who he thinks is this person from Toronto who he believes to have been the one carrying the Nazi flag at the convoy in an attempt to discredit the protesters. And he approaches this person and says, "What, do you want to come in and testify? I'll get you up on the stand. I'll talk to the commissioner. We'll get you in there to testify." And the person who he approaches is a guy named Greg McKechnie. He's well known in Ottawa as his affiliations with the Liberal Party. He now works as a lobbyist, and he's also, yes, a pundit. He appears on CTV News and CTV News Channel often as commenting from the Liberal perspective on various stories. He looks like maybe vaguely like the guy that the lawyer thinks was the flag bearer, in the sense that he's a bearded man with glasses. But I mean, that's about it. It was a surreal moment. And one of our camera operators, Peter Carlson, did a great job of capturing the whole exchange on camera yesterday. So yeah, it's got a lot of traction on Twitter. Suddenly, Mr. Miller did not appear at the hearing to do the cross-examination on the final day of testimony. I don't know why. It may have nothing to do with what happened yesterday. However, interesting kind of little sidebar story that has kind of engaged a lot of people who have been watching the hearings closely.
I just wanted to ask, because if you were on Twitter trying to untangle that, good luck. Yeah. Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chrissy.
Glenn McGregor, CTV National News reporter. 4:20. It's a long day. There's going to be a lot more still coming out, more questioning. Prime Minister is still testifying.
You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA.
I'm so bad at shopping that I actually sent a text message to three of my friends today. Four, actually. One in a text group, the other one individually. And I said, "Hey, gals, anybody spot any good Black Friday deals?" And then Bunda, one of them responded back, "Is there anything in particular that you're looking for?" And I said, "I don't know. Anything for me. I haven't really bought anything in a while." that you think's a good idea. They said clothing, jewelry. I said, I don't know. Anything that you think is good, just send it to me and I'll try and look.
It's a wide range of options, right?
Right. It said anything, anything for me. I have not been shopping in quite some time, quite some time. So there's a lot of things that I could probably use. And I was looking for Christmas gifts as well. It's a good time to try and shop for Christmas gifts, even if it's not the biggest discount in the world. I think people will take it right now because they could use it. Is there a go-to Christmas present like that you could just generically buy? For example, a bottle of wine, nicer bottle, keep it on hand, use it as a host gift. Most people like accepting that around the holidays. A box of chocolates, a treat. Is there anything like that, Bunda, that is your go-to, a generic gift?
Yeah, those are pretty good. Like a bottle, like a nice bottle of like whiskey or scotch, right? Like that's another
one. Yep, that's
one.
A good one.
Gift baskets, right? There's so many gift baskets you can get from Christmas parties or
a fancy
auctions.
Cheese.
Yeah, like those brie or cheese boards, right? Those I feel like are pretty big right now. But no, I think like it's silly, but isn't like alcohol like the easiest one? Even gift
it
cards,
is.
Like the LCBO gift cards are so simple.
True. True. But then sometimes you run into a bit of a predicament if the person doesn't drink wine or they don't drink in general. Somebody with a sweet tooth, chocolates, cheese board, gift basket. Text in if you've got a generic go-to. I don't mean the term generic derogatory. I just mean generic as in you could keep it on hand and then in a pinch you could pull it out and gift it.
Is
it's like having those clear. No. Do you? You saucy little minx.
No, I'm just saying.
Do you?
Like you have
hey,
to have.
Hey. There's a story behind this. Go ahead. What do you regift?
No, I'm just saying. Like there's so many times. Like I've been given a bottle of wine and I don't drink wine. So it's something.
So you regift it.
I'll regift it absolutely because I'm like I'm sure
Make
someone
sure
would
it's still
appreciate
good.
It. Oh, for well, yeah. I mean, I don't know about that, but I'll check. But you've got gift baskets, like I said, chocolate. Like, there's so much that you get around this time of the year, or that's available.
Yeah.
That it's like,
yeah.
You know what? Like, what are you really going to do with it? You've got so much going on. So,
well, if it's me, drink it. But yeah, I actually, you know, I don't drink wine either too much.
No,
not so much. I'm more of a cocktail gal.
So, would you prefer a bottle of wine from
Gin.
Somebody, or would you prefer a gift card to the LCBO?
I would prefer a bottle of something.
Okay.
Because I think it's a little impersonal.
Okay.
No, I'm not one to take offense, though, really. I don't take offense that easily. I'm usually not fazed by most things. Like, you should have seen me last night. As an example, we were at this charity event, and by we, I mean Bell Media. And we had a table. Stefan Keyes was hosting it. It was in support of the Dave Smith Treatment Center for Youth. And it's a wonderful facility that is being built. And we were there. My bosses, Peter and Joanne, they were there at the table. And Colter Prale was there. Michael Woods. We're all sitting at a table. And it was a roast of the former mayor, Jim Watson, and Councillor Eli L. Shantieri. And Scott Moffitt, also not a city councillor anymore, got up. And they have nothing to lose now. They don't really care because they're not in office. So they're a lot looser. And you could see, like, I saw the mayor and I thought, wow, he looks so relaxed and happy.
Off the
You're
clock.
Finally getting off the clock, getting some time for yourself. And Scott Moffitt, I thought, gave the best roast of the night of Eli L. Shantieri and of Jim Watson. But it kind of felt like people in the audience were a little awkward to laugh. They weren't sure if they could laugh. Because it was pretty feisty at times. And they thought, well, I don't want to offend anyone. There I am, mouth open, nostrils flared, laughing the loudest. The only person who was laughing as hard as me, I think, was Stefan Keyes.
Okay.
He had a pretty loud laugh. I'm not fazed by that stuff. I loved it. I thought he did a great job. 431, Jill says in Stittsville, generic gifts, olive oils and fancy vinegars, like champagne vinegar. Champagne vinegar. I've heard of a sherry vinegar, but never of a champagne. Another person says hot sauce. That's a good one.
Oh.
Another texter says a high quality tree ornament. That's very nice. Maybe for a child too.
That's a new one. I've never heard that. That's a good idea.
I like that. And finally, somebody says guest soaps or candles. Oh, I'm a fiend for candles. I just watch my money burn before my eyes, literally. Your news is right now. I want
someone to love. You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA.
The internal cynic in me, whenever I see Black Friday sales, come in, Black Friday, today only. And by the way, they're not usually just today. They're often in the few days leading up to Black Friday or until Monday, which is also apparently Cyber Monday. The inner critic in me is saying, is it really that much of a deal? For example, a clothing store today, buy one, get one, 50% off. The other item is 50%, excluding dresses, pants, blazers. So what does it include? And often the stuff I see, at least at clothing stores, will be summer inventory, fall inventory, a different season where it's been around a while and there's not that much of it in limited sizing. But some people are texting into the show and they do say that they got a pretty good deal. Someone here says, I got my wife a tablet, brand new, 50% off online, a current version, not an old one. The key is you have to know the regular price and not the hype of a percentage off. Text into the show. Let me know. Did you line up? Were you trying to get in for the so-called door crasher deals? Does anybody do that anymore? Or is that long gone? And that's now a relic of Boxing Day. Brad Davis is an associate marketing professor at Wilfrid Laurier University and joins us right now. Hi, Brad. Thank you for coming on.
It's my pleasure.
What's your take on Black Friday?
Well, I think you kind of hit it on the head just a moment ago when you said that there are deals out there, providing you're kind of shopping with a little bit of homework in advance. You kind of have a sense about what you would have expected to pay beforehand. So there are deals that are out there, but Black Friday is really intended to entice consumers into those impulse purchases, and that's what you have to be afraid of. The items that you didn't intend to buy, but you get caught up in all of the hoopla and the hype and the pressure to shop, and you come home with things that you really don't need.
It's true. I got an email from a company I purchased a mirror from, and they said, save 30%, and they're pretty pricey mirrors, you know, compared to something that you might find at HomeSense. And so I looked at it and thought, oh, well, that's actually, I'm saving a lot of money on that. And then I thought, where am I putting this mirror? It tried to get its hooks into me. It worked for maybe 45 seconds.
Yes, yes. And I mean, the reality is, we're never going to be totally sure whether we got a deal or not. The only way to know that is if you have monitored the price for months before and months after to see what the regular price was, when was it on sale and for how much, and compare with what you shopped. So to me, it's a deal if two criteria. One, are you happy with what you paid for? And two, are you still using it a month from now? Then it's a deal.
Yeah, that's true. How much do you think Black Friday now is getting bigger in Canada versus what it was, let's say, in 2018, 2019?
I think it kind of peaked, and we're actually seeing it erode a little bit. Around not that long after, Cyber Monday has actually passed it in terms of sales revenues, and I think Cyber Monday is only going to get more because you now have this whole group of people who, because of the pandemic shutdowns, became more comfortable with online shopping, developed sites that they frequent more often, so they trust more. So I think all of the momentum has been more around cyber shopping, kind of away from in-store. And this is a very funny year because there's inventory levels are going to be weird because there's been problems with supply chain for a while. Some of us have experienced this where you want an appliance and there's like a 6-month delivery time. So it's not quite clear what is going to be in inventory out there that they're going to put on sale. There's issues about retail staff. So hours may be shorter in some places because staffing problems exist. So I think that there's a lot of things working against Black Friday and a lot of momentum towards Cyber Monday. So I would expect that Cyber Monday is probably going to extend its lead on Black Friday that they built up the last couple of years.
I remember when Target came to Canada, and it's not here anymore, but the way that people were feverish about getting a good deal and getting the door crasher prize and getting in and lining up at Billings Bridge, that's where it was, where I am here in Ottawa, that's a mall. And it was madness. People were really excited. I think because we used to do that more. I had somebody in my life where we would go to a mall on Boxing Day when I was in university, wake up at 5 a.m., go in on Boxing Day, look for all the deals. It doesn't really feel like that's the culture anymore, Brad.
I agree, and I think some of the early returns I heard was just that, you didn't have the midnight madness. Stores weren't opening up at 12:01. You didn't have the giant great lineups. And I think you now have a generation of shoppers who are quite legitimately thinking, well, why do I want to get up real early and be cold when I just can log into my computer and order it and it'll be here tomorrow?
Yeah.
So it's as you say, those were events, those were occasions, and I think they've lost a lot of that luster with this new generation that is kind of really weaned on living online.
Final question. I'm going to put you on the spot. You're pretty cynical about the Black Friday sales. So did you, Brad Davis, buy anything today, or will you?
No, I didn't. And it's it's a bit of being sacrilegious, being a marketing professor, being cynical about Black Friday. But but under the banner of consumerism, it's there are deals out there. You can get some deals. It's just I think the big worry with consumers is, and the way marketers play off of this, we call FOMO, fear of missing out.
FOMO,
and
yeah.
So much of Black Friday is around that, where it's, today only Black Friday deal while quantities last. And it means consumers make bad decisions because they suspend the normal consideration of, well, how much do I need this? How much do I need this now? What's the price for this? With that fear that I'm never going to get another chance at this. So that's when you kind of suspend the rational assessment and you end up buying something you don't really need. So, that's the part of, I'm all in favor of making better consumers than trying to kind of build those sort of fears and get that kind of fear reaction.
And I will say, because some people are texting me saying, no, Christy, I really did get a good deal. I believe you.
Yep.
You just have to have a sharp mind, as you said, or have a keen sense of what's going on. There are some local businesses that never do Black Friday, or they never do a sale, ever. And once a year, they will do a sale, and they'll do 15, 20, 30% off, whatever it is. Yep. And that truly is the only time. So if you want it, then leap on it. I also heard apparently Apple was doing some discounts today. I've never seen discounts there. I don't regularly. So if you actually know and you've done your homework, then it seems like you can get a good deal. But if not, buyer beware.
I agree. And I think, as you say, do your homework. So, sit down and try to develop a little bit of a list, even if it's psychological, people you want to buy for, what they're interested in, things you're looking at. So you have a little bit of a framework, a little bit of a structure. When you're sitting down, remind yourself, this is just the start of the holiday shopping season. You're going to have Cyber Monday week, pre-Christmas, Boxing Day month. There's a long time to go with many more opportunities. Don't feel that sort of pressure. And the last thing I've advised people, be very careful about who you go shopping with. What you really want is to go out with somebody who's going to be a bit of on the buddy system. As consumers, we are very poor at recognizing kind of decision bias in ourselves. We're really good at spotting it in other people. So go out with somebody that you can play off ideas. What do you think? Should I buy this or not? And they're going to give you a real answer. You don't want to go out with somebody who you know is going to shop like crazy, because then you get into competitive shopping. And then you start to feel like I've got to buy stuff to keep up. So be very careful about who you choose to go out shopping with.
Well, maybe Brad Davis, this is your way of volunteering yourself.
Give me a call. I'm free reasonably. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Brad Davis, dial him up on the FaceTime. Show him the object or the item, and he'll let you know. Thank you, Brad.
My pleasure.
Associate Marketing Professor at Laurier University, talking about Black Friday. Quickly, Danny, before I go to Time Saver traffic and weather, were there sales on at the Apple Store?
So what the sign said was shop eligible products and get gift cards of up to $350. Mm-hmm. So it's spend, we'll give you some money so you can spend some more, which you'll most likely spend over $350 when you're an Apple anyways.
Oh, I had to get a new computer.
But it's $350 you didn't have, so it all depends how you look at it.
Okay, let's see. AirPod Pro second generation. You spend $329, you get a $70 gift card. Right, but what are you buying with $70 at Apple?
Right, exactly.
You're getting a credit towards something else. The other AirPods that are only $100 that are $100, right? There's the Black Friday mindset. The other AirPods that are $179, $35 gift card.
I mean, with the $70 you'd have left over, you may be able to get a phone case, maybe?
Mm-hmm, maybe.
If it's not the leather kind?
Danny Dubé, our discount hunter. She'll join us in a second. Flashback Friday's coming up.
Yes! I'll have what she's having.
Flashback Friday on News Talk 580 CFRA.
What song activates your memory and transports you back to a very specific time and place? I want to hear from you on the show today. We'll do a couple now. We'll do a couple later. Here is a song that I didn't even remember. It's a pop song. I would never listen to it now. But it came on the other day in a show or a movie I was watching, and immediately I was back in high school in my friend's car again, and we were driving to go get something from a fast food place for lunch. Remember that? Mika, Danny, do you recognize that at all?
I do, but it doesn't trigger anything for me. I think there was one song that he did that maybe might do that. But
I saw him in concert when I was in high school.
Oh, and how was that? Was it a lot of
It was great. It was great. Yeah, I mean, he's got a sort of Freddie Mercury-esque voice. Don't come at me. Don't say he's not Freddie Mercury, Christy. I'm not saying he is.
Nobody's
saying that he kind of pays tribute to him in his singing style. Then there's this song by MGMT. No time to think of consequences. Show yourself. Take only what you need from a family of trees falling. Now I'm a bit older. I'm in my dorm room at Carleton University. Mm-hmm. I'm in my first year of journalism school. I'm worried I'm going to get cut because they're cutting half the class. Am I going to survive? What am I going to do? That's where I am in my mind. Or maybe on the dance floor at Zaphod's.
Ah, yes.
Right? When that still existed. Oh, yeah. And you know, it's funny because these are both pop songs or dance songs.
Yeah, they both
which
have
really,
the same vibe.
Yeah, it's really not even my genre of music. I'm a big classic rock fan. That's my go-to. But those two songs really stand out to me. Danny?
Yeah, and that song, which is called Kids by MGMT, that was the first time I saw the music video for it. And that was a terrifying music video.
What was in the music video?
So it's a baby. Following a baby in his mom's arms, and he's seeing a whole bunch of nightmares come to life. And the nightmares are these horribly ghoulish, bloody zombie monster things that you would see something in, like, what do you call it, a creep show or something. So I was like, oh man, I hope they didn't really, like,
what is this based on? Danny, what's yours?
Okay, so this one. Let's. So this, I'm not a huge country fan.
It's actually, Garth Brooks, though.
It is Garth Brooks. So I love country before the year 2000. Okay? Any country before then.
Same.
Patsy Cline all the way to the Chicks, now that they're
classic.
But this one, my grandma owned a restaurant and she had a jukebox. And this was the song on the jukebox. And when I was 3-4 years old, this would play all the time. And it just reminds me of her.
That's so nice. Oh, yes. I've blocked this out. No. Who is this? This is a weird emo.
This is My Chemical Romance, guys.
Oh, okay, my Chemical Danny.
They defined my teenagehood. I saw them in concert 3 times. Fantastic in concert, and I will die on the hill that this is the Black Parade is the best, one of the best concept albums, one of the best rock operas ever. They were even named in the Rolling Stone magazine as such for this album. And Callum Fraser is a huge fan of Black Parade, so I'm not alone in this. They defined me. Yeah,
Danny.
My teenage self.
Okay, we got to get to our news, but we'll.
I know.
My Chemical Romance.
Just imagine me as emo.
Hey, I mean, I said Mika, which is not really, that was probably a bit surprising.
That was so hardcore, Christy.
So hardcore.
Nobody understands me.
Your news is next.